Hello everyone. So today I'm going to tell you about a system called RF Cloak that can secure deployed commercial RFID cards without modifying them. This is joint work with Jue Wang and Dina Katabi from MIT, as well as Professor Yoshi Konoho from University of Washington. So RFID cards are like these stickers and cards in my hand. They don't have any battery. They nearly have any computation power. And today, they are used in many sensitive applications. They're used in access control. They're used in credit cards and passports, pharmaceutical, modern car keys, as well as subway systems. And you know what? Most of these systems, if not all, have been broken. In access control, there's over 5 billion cards called the Mayfair Classic, which is being used right now worldwide, which have been broken more than 5 years ago. You can go on YouTube and you'll find a lot of videos of people hacking into credit cards and passports and getting other people's private information. The same thing for drugs, car keys, as well as public transportation. In fact, a few years ago, a group of MIT students hacked into the Boston subway system and they showed how to ride the Boston subway for free. And the Boston Transport Authority got a court order to prevent them from presenting their work. But they eventually presented it. But the interesting story here is that 7 years later, you can still hack into the Boston subway system exactly the same way. Nothing has changed so far. And it turns out that anyone can do it. You don't need to be an expert or a computer scientist to do this. All you have to do is you go online and buy one of these devices. For example, this one here is just $30. And then you go to one of many websites that is going to give you a step-by-step instructions on how to hack into the RFIDs. And it gets even worse. You don't need an RFID reader or physical access to the cards. All you need to do is just eavesdrop on the communication whenever the user is using his or her card to be able to hack it. So next time you're really angry with your advisor, just get a software radio and listen whenever he or she uses her car keys or credit cards and hack into her car and take it for a joyride. And of course, you might not graduate if you do this, but depending on the car, it might be worth it. But really, why is that? Why are all these RFID systems broken? Well, the reason is that RFIDs typically adopt weak encryption protocols. As I said, they're just stickers that nearly have any computation power. And as a result, the encryption gets easily broken. Now, of course, one solution is to have stronger encryption. But the problem with that is that that's going to increase the computation power and size and cost of RFIDs. And that goes entirely against the goal of the RFID industry, which is to dramatically reduce the size, power, and cost of RFIDs. And even if you can do that, there's still billions of RFIDs out there that are being used that are unsecure. So what we want a solution that can work with existing RFID cards. Now for one type of attacks, called active attacks, where the reader actually queries your RFID, there is such solutions. People build RFID attack detectors, and you can go on Amazon and buy an RFID blocking wallet, which will prevent an attacker from querying your card. But still, it turns out that most of the attacks I've just showed you were demonstrated just by eavesdropping on the communication whenever the person uses his or her card. And so what we want, we need a solution for eavesdropping that can work with existing RFIDs. And this is exactly what I'm going to describe in this talk. I'm going to describe a system called RF Cloak that can protect RFIDs against eavesdropping. And it does so without requiring any modifications to the RFIDs, so you don't need to increase their cost and size, and it will work with existing commercial cards. And it protects against a wide range of attackers, including powerful multi-antenna MIMO attackers. And so we theoretically proven the guarantees for this system, as well as we implemented it and empirically demonstrated its benefits. So before I tell you how does this system work, I need to tell you a bit how RFID communication works. And the way RFID communication works is that you have your reader and you have your RFID card. And what's going to happen is that the reader is going to transmit a constant waveform C to the card. And the card has a switch on it. It's going to turn it on or off to reflect the RFID signal back and reflect its bits. So what the reader, typically RFID readers are full duplex, so it's just going to receive the reflection back from the card. And so it's going to receive the reflection multiplied by the wireless channel H. Now, if we put an eavesdropper there, listening on the medium, what the eavesdropper is going to receive, he's first going to receive the signal from the RFID reader multiplied by the channel from the reader to the eavesdropper. And then he's also going to receive the reflection from the RFID card multiplied by the channel from the card to the eavesdropper. And so if you look at the equation of what the eavesdropper receives, it's all constant except for the bits. So nothing is changing there except the bits. And so the eavesdropper can see these bits in the clear and can be able to decode them and extract the data. So what can we do to fix that? So here's one simple idea. Let's replace this constant waveform C with a random one, RFD. And so if you do that, then the reader now is going to transmit a random waveform. And then what the eavesdropper is going to see is going to see this random signal. And so the reader knows the random waveform RFD. It is the one who generated it. And so it can decode. It can subtract it out and decode. Whereas the eavesdropper doesn't know the random waveform RFD. And so it cannot subtract it out and cannot decode the bits. And so this random waveform, RFD, is acting like a one-time pad on the air that's hiding the bits. But how can we generate this random waveform? Well, here's one naive solution. What you can do is multiply each bit with a random number. And in fact, there's theoretical work that proposes this. But when you're dealing with physical layer security, you need to take the structure of the signal into account. Let me show you how the RFID signal looks like. So for example, for a one bit, the RFID signal has a few oscillations followed by a constant. Whereas for a zero bit, it's a constant followed by a few oscillations. And if you naively just multiply each bit with a random number, this is what you're going to get. And so you will still be able to distinguish a zero bit from a one bit, and the eavesdropper will still be able to decode this data. So what we really want a random waveform that can destroy this internal signal patterns of the bits so that we cannot distinguish a zero bit from a one bit. And to create such random waveform, there are two constraints. The first constraint is we want it to change as fast as any transition in the RFID signal. And to ensure that, what you need to do is to make sure that the bandwidth of your random signal is equal to the bandwidth of the RFID signal. And you also want it to look indistinguishable from white noise. So you want it to have a flat frequency response. And to do that, you need to sample complex Gaussian random variables. And if you do that, its frequency profile is going to look something like this. So it's flat and it covers the bandwidth. And so the eavesdropper now, instead of seeing the signal from the RFID, he's going to see a random signal that looks like this. And he's not going to be able to tell a zero bit from a one bit. And in fact, in the paper, we theoretically prove that the eavesdropper cannot decode. For this case, our threat model is a single antenna eavesdropper that is using the optimal decoder to try to decode. And what we show, we prove this theorem, which I informally restate here as, using this type of random waveform, an eavesdropper will not be able to distinguish a zero bit from a one bit. So he cannot do better than randomly guessing these bits. But what if we have a stronger threat model? What if our eavesdropper has MIMO multi-antenna capabilities? So he has a multi-antenna receiver. Let's see what's going to happen next. Well, let's say he just has two antennas. Now the reader is still going to transmit the random waveform, and the eavesdropper is going to receive on his first antenna this random waveform multiplied by the channel from the reader plus the reflection multiplied by the channel from the card. And he's going to receive something similar on his second antenna, just with different wireless channels. And so each of these signals alone, if you take it alone, it looks random and you cannot use it to extract the bits. But if the eavesdropper just takes the ratios of these two signals, the random waveform is going to simply cancel out, and this, what he's going to get is he's going to be able to eliminate the randomness from the signal. So the only thing that's changing now is the bits, and he can use that to decode. So with the two antenna, he was able to eliminate the random waveform and decode the bits. So how can we solve that? Well, if the MIMO eavesdropper has two antennas, why can't the reader have two antennas? So we can have two antennas on the reader, transmit two different random waveforms, and then what's going to happen is that the eavesdropper will not be able to decode and the system is secure again. But if that's the case, why can't the MIMO eavesdropper has three antennas? And now he's going to be able to decode again, and the system is not secure again. But then the reader can have three antennas. And we can keep playing this game on, and eventually whoever has more antennas wins. So what we have here is an antenna war, and whoever has more resources is going to win. But really, this is just not sustainable. This is extremely expensive. You cannot build such large MIMO systems. And so how can we change the rules so that we secure this system? So here's what we're going to do. Instead of using all these antennas, we're going to take them and replace them with a few rotating switching antennas. So what we're going to do in RF clock is combine antenna motion with rapid antenna switching. And what this is going to do is going to emulate a very large number of antennas that are changing very fast. Now you might be wondering, okay, why can't the eavesdropper do exactly the same thing? Well, the reason is that there is an intrinsic difference in MIMO between transmission and reception. The eavesdropper needs to simultaneously receive on his antennas the multiple streams so he can separate the signals and decode. Whereas for us, we don't have such constraint. All we need to do is fast change the channel really fast so as to confuse the eavesdropper and prevent him from decoding. So by changing the channels to the eavesdropper very fast, he cannot separate the RFID signal from the reader signal, and he's not going to be able to decode. The reader, on the other hand, as I said, is full duplex. He's just going to receive the reflections back from the RFID, and then he's just going to detect whether there is a reflection or there's no reflection, and he's going to decode based on that. And so we also proved the security guarantees for the system, and here the threat model is now a multi-antenna MIMO eavesdropper. And what we show, again, you can get more details in the paper, but what we show that the MIMO eavesdropper, if the channels are random, will not be able to distinguish a 0-bit from a 1-bit. So this is in theory, but how well does this work in practice? So we implemented RF clock on USRP software radios, and we used a rotating frame on a 1700 RPM motor with RF switches to implement the antenna motion and RF switching. And we evaluated this against different types of commercial RFIDs, such as the Boston subway cards, the multipurpose RFIDs used in retailing, and even computational RFIDs. And our evaluation metric here is going to be the bit error rate, the BER. So what the bit error rate is going to tell us is how many of the bits the eavesdropper can get correctly. And what we want this to be, we want it to be as close as possible to 0.5, which means that the eavesdropper cannot get the bits. So let's start with the first threat model where you have a single antenna eavesdropper and we just randomize the waveform to prevent the eavesdropper from decoding. What I'm going to show here on the x-axis, you have the bit error rate, the BER, and on the y-axis you have the CDF over the different locations and different runs of the experiment. And here's what the CDF will look like if you have just a random guess. So you know nothing and you're just randomly trying to guess what the bits are. And here's what the CDF will look like if the eavesdropper uses the maximum likelihood decoder, which in this case is the optimal decoder for the system. So what he's going to have, he's going to have a BER which is 0.498, which is very close to 0.5 with a very small standard deviation. And so in this case, he's very close to a random guess, and he cannot really decode the bits. But as I said, the eavesdropper, when we're just using random waveforms, can use two antennas. And in this case, he's going to be able to decode. He's going to be able to remove the random waveform, and he's going to get a very small bit of BER, and he's going to get most of the bits correctly. So with the two antenna MIMO eavesdropper, we'll be able to tease out the signals and decode. And for that, what we need to do is, as I said, is change the channels and randomize them. And so if we do that, this is, again, the random guess. And this is what we get if we use whether the eavesdropper has 2, 3, 4, or 5 antennas. It's always his average BER is 0.5 with small standard deviation. And so by quickly changing the channels, we're able to prevent the MIMO eavesdropper from decoding the RFID's data. And so before I end, let me give you just a bit of related work. So this work is related to physical layer security in wireless networks. And the main difference is that we were the first to have a solution for MIMO, against MIMO eavesdroppers. It's also related to work in RFID security that protects against eavesdropping. However, either some of this work has been already broken, or most of it is theoretical and implementing it would require to change all the RFIDs. And recently, there's been a lot of work in wireless on using moving antennas to improve either the performance, to perform interference nulling, to perform localization. Here, we bring a new application to moving antennas, which is security. If you move the antennas, you change the channel, your system is more secure. And so to summarize, in this talk, I presented a system called RF Clock. It is the first system that can protect deployed RFID cards against eavesdropping without requiring any modifications to the RFIDs. So you don't increase their power, you don't increase their cost, you don't have to change them, they just work with commercial systems. And so it is also the first system that can hide the signal from a MIMO attacker even when the eavesdropper does not have MIMO capability. So the eavesdropper has only a single transmitter, it just has connected to a few antennas. Whereas the eavesdropper needs to have multi-receiver system. And so the way in the future we envision that you can build this into a compact model, think just of your hard disk drive that can rotate really fast, and then you can etch the antennas on the disk. And so just to summarize, because this is a physical layer system, it provides a defense in depth solution, which means that we're not saying don't use crypto. You can go ahead and use whatever crypto system you want. And then this will give you another layer of security so that in the future, if your cryptography gets broken, you still have another layer of defense. Okay. With this, I'm going to end. And thank you so much for listening to me. And I'm ready to take questions.
Yeah, there we go. Hey. I am thoroughly entertained by antennas spinning at 1700 RPM. That sounds awesome. Do you have a video of that, by the way?
No.
It's awesome. So I'm curious, is the concern, why did you have to switch between the two antennas on the rotating platform? Okay. Is the concern the attacker would have a phase synchronized 1700 RPM?
No, the concern is that the rotation is periodic. So and so then there's going to be correlation.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could just mess around with the RPM, like basically change the speed
over
time.
Yes, but the problem is you can switch really fast, but you cannot just change the speed.
You can't
as
change
fast.
The speed, yeah. Physics.
Okay. Very nice work. Yang Zhuang from UBC and NYU. So one question I have is, have you looked at the energy costs and other overhead?
Can you raise?
Have you looked at the other overhead, like energy and memory and other costs related to this mechanism?
So for changing the cards?
Right.
Or
For rotating the
for the reader, you mean?
Either way, like the whole system's overhead?
So if you think of mainly for the second part, what we're doing is we're just changing the antennas mainly. So the overhead is not... We hope that you can use the same type of receivers, just change the antenna. You still use a single receiver chain, And so in terms of the sampling rate, we're not increasing the sampling rate, so your memory requirement is exactly the same as before.
And how about on the sender side?
On the sender, that is on the transmitter side.
Right.
On the cards, we're not changing the cards, so the cards are exactly maintain the same memory constraint as they do today.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.